Okay, I know we put you on the Supreme Court for a reason. So when do I get my Twitter account back?
Well, not exactly, sir.
What do you mean? Excuse me, they said, you know, that I'm, you know, I can block people. So then what's the problem?
Sir, we threw out the case because it was moot, because according to some people, you are no longer the president of the United States. And you've been banned from Twitter, so they're
moot? What is moot? Moot sounds like a racial slur that I don't know about, that I should probably use a lot more, very strongly. What the hell are you talking about, Brett? I went back on Twitter.
Sir, you have my word. If they ever come for your Parler account or your new social media account, I will double down in the weight room and I will beat the crap out of anybody who does that. I give you my word, sir.
You are such a pathetic bitch. Even Gorsuch is tougher than you, and that's, you know, that's a pretty bad insult. You have disappointed me, and you're a disgrace.
If you're a fan of baseball and voting, I've got an important update, because on Friday, Major League Baseball announced they are moving the All-Star Game out of Georgia. It's a dramatic story that moves baseball dangerously close to being newsworthy. Major League Baseball yanked the game because the Georgia GOP passed a major law limiting voting, like adding voter ID requirements for absentee ballots, limiting the use of ballot drop boxes, and making it a crime to approach voters in line to give them food and water. There's your classic Southern hospitality. As it says in the good book, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And then you were arrested because white people in Georgia are terrified of Stacey Abrams." For years, Republicans have been removing polling locations and shortening voting hours in order to make it harder to vote in black districts. And it's sure not a great look that Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed it behind closed doors, guarded by state troopers, surrounded by white men, while sitting under a painting of a slave plantation. He then celebrated by watching Gone with the Wind and singing all the words to Gold Digger. It is so blatantly racist that it's been dubbed Jim Crow 2.0. 2.0? Really? Georgia's passed so many voter suppression measures, they've got to be up to at least Jim Crow Snow Leopard. So on Friday, the league released a statement saying Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. You know it's bad when an organization that includes the Atlanta Braves and the Cleveland Indians says you're too racist. That's like Matt Gaetz telling you to date your own age. Oh, speaking of sex criminals, the former president put out a statement on MLB's decision.
So the radical left has now ruined baseball, our great sport, our once great sport. Now it's gone the route of Kaepernick, okay? Cancel culture, radical left people in Georgia have decided that, oh, you're taking away the votes of African Americans? Well, then you can't have an All-Star game. This is how radical the left has gone, just to protect the vote of some people. They want to take away the America's pastime. It's out of control. What's next? What's next? I don't even know what's next. They've gone so crazy. But, you know, baseball is now, we used to have great baseball players like Ty Cobb, okay? And, you know, then we had great people like Curt Schilling, great conservative patriot baseball players, who would go out there with bloody socks, and they would win the game, and they'd give all the praise to the Lord, our great God, on Easter weekend. And, you know, he would go on about his day and just commit, you know, I don't know, like some sort of financial fraud with video game companies. Just strong, patriotic Christian behavior. Now we have a game. It's a game full of Latinos walking around like they own the place. And, you know, they hit a home run and they strut around and they flip the bat. It's a total disgrace. Why should we allow these people to come into our country and enjoy baseball? If nobody watching the game enjoys it, why should we let Latinos come in here, hit home runs, and enjoy it? The American way is you sit there, you eat, you put a bunch of hot dogs in your mouth, right? Mike Lindell, I thought Mike Pence might be there. And you eat peanuts, you pretend to enjoy it, and then you go home. That's baseball, okay? So because of the radical left canceling baseball in Georgia, I'm canceling baseball. I encourage all my MAGA people, to first donate at donaldjtrump.com, give you Biden stimulus money there, and throw out your baseball stuff, and we'll see what happens.
Now the Red Hatters are mad at them, including Tanny Ramirez, who released this strongly worded statement. Baseball's already losing tremendous numbers of fans, and now they leave Atlanta with their all-star game because they're afraid of the radical left Democrats who do not want voter ID, which is desperately needed to have anything to do with our elections. Boycott baseball and all of the woke companies that are interfering with free and fair elections. Are you listening, Coke, Delta, and all? Now, Donald Trump calling for a boycott of Coca-Cola is beautiful. He had a Diet Coke button on his desk in the Oval Office. The man urinates aspartame, okay? And it's especially funny because with all his complaining about cancel culture, this guy has tried to cancel more culture than anybody ever. If you listen to Donald Trump, you'd have to cancel baseball, Coke, Delta Airlines, Viacom CBS, Citigroup, Cisco, UPS, Apple, Macy's, Univision, HBO, Oreo, Rolling Stone, Fox News, Starbucks, Geico, Goodyear, Amazon, AT&T, the NFL, T-Mobile, Harley-Davidson, Nike, Comcast, and Merck, which happens to make Propecia the drug Donald Trump takes to slow his balding down. What are the chances that Donald Trump actually gives up Diet Coke or his bald head medicine? None. But he wants you to. And in fact, because it always goes like this. This is something Stephen Miller tweeted today. I just had a terrific meeting with the president, not President, Trump. Stephen Miller is not using Propecia, but Donald Trump is drinking a Diet Coke hidden behind the phone on his desk. Isn't that the best? Cheer up, Republicans. You can't watch football, baseball, or basketball, or NASCAR anymore, but you can still watch Trump play golf and drink Coke.
I got stuck on the Cat in a Hat ride at Universal Studios once. That menacing and irresponsible cat spun mercilessly in front of me for about 15 minutes. It felt like years. It felt like it would never end, to the point where I'd begun to accept it as my new reality. This is it, I thought. I live here now. My head ached and filled with clang doozers and fizz pows. Sorry, that happens every once in a while now. Then the ride started moving again. That's where it feels like we're at with this pandemic. Lockdowns, restrictions, protocols, spinning mercilessly in our faces. Gone and then back, gone and then back. I swear to God, to this day, if I see a cat wearing a hat or even a dog wearing a beanie, I start to sweat. When we got on this ride, it was scary, but let's be honest, it was new and novel and felt a little exciting. Until people we knew started dying or getting really sick. Talking about the pandemic here, not the ride. As far as I know, no one has died because they got stuck in the Cat in the Hat ride. Though I can tell you, after 15 minutes, your formerly happy family will start to turn on each other. Could have got ugly, real quick. But then the ride started moving again. We all just want this slow-moving nightmare ride to end. And it will. It will end. The ride will start moving again. And then it'll end and we'll get some churros and actually not even try to avoid the actors pretending to be the Mystery Inc. gang. Even though I'm pretty sure only Shaggy was supposed to be stoned, not all of them. Wasn't there a dog? Anyway, hang in there. This terrible, terrible ride will end. Eventually.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Well, Seymour, I made it, despite your directions.
Our Superintendent Chalmers, welcome. I hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
Where?
Here. Oh, I guess my roast is ruined. But what if I were to purchase fast food and disguise it as my own cooking? Ho, 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 ho. Delightfully devilish, Seymour.
Her.
Crazy explanations. The superintendent's gonna need his medication. When he hears Skinner's lame exaggerations, there'll be trouble in town tonight.
Seymour.
Superintendent, I was just stretching my calves on the windowsill. Isometric exercise. Care to join me?
Why is there smoke coming out of your oven, Seymour?
No, that isn't smoke, it's steam. Steam from the steamed clams we're having. Steamed clams. Be you. Superintendent, I hope you're ready for mouth-watering hamburgers.
I thought we were having steamed clams.
No, I said steamed hams. That's what I call hamburgers.
You call hamburgers steamed hams?
Yes. It's a regional dialect.
Uh-huh. What region?
Upstate New York.
Really? Well, I'm from Utica, and I've never heard anyone use the phrase steamed hams.
Not in Utica, no. It's an Albany expression.
I see. You know, these hamburgers are quite similar to the ones they have at Krusty Burger.
Ho, ho, ho. Nope. Patented Skinner Burgers. All family recipe.
Four steamed hams.
Yes.
Yes, and you call them steamed hams, despite the fact that they are obviously grilled.
Hey, you know the one thing? Yeah, I should. Excuse me for 1 second.
Of course.
Go on. Well, that was wonderful. A good time was had by all. I'm pooped.
Yes, I should be. Good Lord, what is happening in there?
Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis. At this time of year, at this time of day, in this part of the country, localized entirely within your kitchen.
Yes.
May I see it?
No.
Seymour, the house is on fire.
No, Mother, it's just the northern lights.
Well, Seymour, you are an odd fellow. But I must say, you steam a good ham.
Hey, Yelp. Hey, Yelp.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com. Or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United
by
Airlines, Books and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
Public Radio.
.com.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising. National Public Radio.
National
Business Radio.
Comes from
United Airlines,
Borders, Books and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio. Nonstop Business
Radio. .com.
Public
Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi. That's Inktomi scaling.
National Public Radio.
At inktomi.com.
National Public Radio. National Public Radio. Nonstop Business.
.com.
Public Radio. Nonstop Business.
Soil Amendments and Mulches. .com.
National Public Radio. Nonstop Business.
.com.
Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
National Business Radio.
.com.
Live Music is back on the air at WGXC on April 15th. We go live to Brooklyn, where Bob Bellaroux performs at the Live for Music Ecology show. Sound artist Bob Bellaroux is familiar to WGXC audiences as someone who's played often on the air and has been a Wavefarm artist in residence. He works with radios and all sorts of other materials to make interesting sound art noises. Tune in for a live performance from the Old Stone House in Brooklyn, Thursday, April 15th from 8 to 10 p.m., on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Here's Artificial Authentic, a 2021 track from Mouse on Mars. Tekra released two albums in late 2020, Sign and Plus, and here is 7FMIC from Plus. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
Monday, April 12th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC. At 7 a.m. on the All Together Now show, Jen Benson, the Riverkeeper Volunteer and Outreach Coordinator, talks about the 10th annual Riverkeeper Sweep on May 1st, where everyone pitches in to help clean up the Hudson River. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three show with Teresa Wong, Carlos Ramirez, Charles Lloyd, and others. There's new music at 2 p.m. from the Vital Weekly show, including tracks from Chio Aka, Emido Kunst, and Nina De Henny. The Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. tunes in Scanner, Neurotransmitter, Barbara S. and Peggy Awish, and Joan Schumann. At 8 p.m. on the Ear Candy Show, Greenville's Broad Monkel talks with drummers Alan Evans and Eric Binder in between the beats. And at 10 p.m. on the Foxy Podcast Show, Graham Lamkin of The Shadow Ring is the guest. Until midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Saffer of Woodstock, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Chris Bragg reports in the Times Union that several current and former members of Governor Andrew Cuomo's staff, or people speaking on their behalf, say helping on work on the governor's book was not voluntary. Previously, Cuomo's spokesperson said that the work by staff busy with the COVID-19 pandemic was legal, voluntary, and was not a misuse of taxpayer fund resources. One former staffer who spoke on the condition of not being identified said, and I quote, it was not optional, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, it was considered a part of your job. Everyone knew that you did what was asked of you, and opting out was never really an option, end quote. Another anonymous source, who the Times Union says has direct knowledge of a more junior Cuomo staffer's work, called it, and I quote, patently ridiculous, end quote, that the staffer had volunteered on the American Crisis book. And at least two junior Cuomo staffers who worked on the book got substantial overtime payments, according to records provided by the Empire Center for Public Policy and State Comptroller's Office. Cuomo's spokesperson Richard Azzopardi said, and I quote, any state official that advised the governor on the book was voluntary, in compliance with state ethics laws and done on their personal time. Every effort was made to ensure that no state resources were used in connection with this project. To the extent an aide did something like printing out a document, it appears incidental, end quote. Bragg writes in the Times Union that, and I quote, asked if there was documentation demonstrating that junior staffers were asked whether they wanted to opt out in volunteering on Cuomo's book, as the party did not provide any such records, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office has been given the green light from the Board of Supervisors to begin using body cameras. The Sheriff's Office will be using the cameras beginning this week after the board approved a temporary policy to regulate them. At a special public safety meeting held April 6, an interim policy was adopted which allows the Sheriff's Office to use the cameras until a more permanent policy is created by an implementation committee. Gent Supervisor Michael Benvenuto said, and I quote, "The Sheriff's Department has the cameras and the company Axon has done the downloads," end quote. He added, and I quote, "They instituted some training and they've run tests with the cameras," end quote. Benvenuto chairs the County Public Safety Committee. Columbia County Sheriff David Bartlett said the interim policy comes from the Department of Criminal Justice Services. The interim policy addresses when to activate a camera, storage and downloading procedures, measures to prevent data tampering, access to review footage, and equipment maintenance. Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Merrell said he will appoint the implementation committee at the next board meeting. New Lebanon Supervisor Trista Holtling made a motion to require the committee and the Sheriff's Office to begin the process of creating a new policy within the next 60 days. The Sheriff's Office was authorized by the board in December to enter into a five-year agreement with Axon Enterprises Incorporated at $100,000 per year for the purchase of the body cameras, related equipment, and storage. The course includes 50 cameras, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The New York City Department of Environmental Protections had filed a formal objection with federal regulators to a plan to build an underground hydroelectric power station on land near the Ashakan Reservoir in Ulster County. The department oversees all of New York City's upstate reservoirs. The plan by Premium Energy Holding of Walnut, California, has, and I quote, "several fatal flaws," end quote, the city department said in its April 8th filing with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It also said Premium should not be granted eminent domain rights to the land near the Ashakan because it sits within New York State's Catskill Park. The land the Premium wants to use near the reservoir is, and I quote, "part of the Catskill Forest Preserve, for which sale, lease, and development are prohibited under the New York Constitution," end quote, according to the DEP's filing. Premium is looking to create a 2,800 megawatt power station 200 to 300 feet below ground on one of three sites, two near Route 2, near State Route 28, and one on the north side of the Ashakan's West Basin. The station would be about 500 feet long, 125 feet wide, and 150 feet high, and generate 800 watts of power. The DEP also objects to the plan for a new off-site reservoir to power the Premium operation. The department argues the new body of water would siphon water from both the Ashakan Reservoir and Upper Esophis Creek, creating additional turbidity and making its levels subject to electricity demands. Kathy Nolan, Senior Research Director for the Environmental Advocacy Group Catskill Mountain Keeper, said Friday that she was encouraged by the city's filing. She said it should cause FERC to either reject the application or to send the applicant back to address in detail all the issues raised. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. WRGB-TV is reporting longtime Albany broadcaster Ernie Tatrol has died at the age of 94. Tatrol was born in Waterville and grew up in Troy. He started his broadcasting career as a radio announcer at WTRY while in high school. After serving in the Naval Air Corps during World War II, he began his television career in 1951. Tatro's first television show was called Hospitality House, followed by Home Fair, where he welcomed big-name guests like Jimmy Durante, Ginger Rogers, Groucho Marx, Debbie Reynolds, and Ronald Reagan. Tatro moved into the newsroom in the 1970s. He covered everything from political conventions to battlefields. He retired in 1993 after 42 years at WRGB. In 2006, he was inducted into the inaugural class of the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And you can read the full story at CBS6Albany.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
The United States should send vaccines, not bombs, around the world. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The COVID-19 pandemic demands a collective global response of the sort that has few parallels in human history. The 132 million confirmed COVID-19 cases worldwide and 3 million deaths are likely underestimates. More contagious variants have emerged, causing an alarming surge in cases. Viruses don't respect borders. And in our increasingly interconnected planet, the need for a cooperative approach to this public health emergency is imperative. The United States, the world's wealthiest nation, has a moral responsibility to facilitate availability of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments worldwide. Instead, the Biden administration is engaging in vaccine nationalism, stockpiling vaccines, and blocking efforts to even temporarily suspend COVID-19 vaccine patents held by for-profit pharmaceutical corporations. Meanwhile, it's business as usual for the U.S. weapons industry, which annually peddles over $160 billion in arms and ammunition around the world. President Joe Biden promised 100 million vaccinations in his first 100 days in office and accomplished that in almost half that time. Vaccine eligibility requirements for people aged 16 and over are likely to be removed nationally within weeks, and trials on children as young as 6 months have already begun. Biden facilitated a deal between competitors Merck and Johnson & Johnson to accelerate production of the J&J single-shot, one-and-done vaccine. And Pfizer just announced development of an oral COVID-19 treatment. But if the virus is allowed to run rampant elsewhere in the world, potentially mutating into more lethal variants, no one is safe. European vaccinations are lagging. Haiti has not yet received a single dose of the vaccine, and scores of other countries, from Mali to Papua New Guinea to Armenia, have only administered a few hundred doses to date. South Africa, where one of the new, more deadly coronavirus variants was first detected, has only vaccinated about 0.5% of its population of almost 60 million. India, a major vaccine manufacturer, abruptly halted vaccine exports in order to address its own record-breaking surge in COVID-19 cases. Part of the blame lies with former President Donald Trump, who effectively sabotaged the initial global pandemic response. First, he began the process of withdrawing from the World Health Organization, then refused to participate in COVAX, the global cooperative effort to guarantee fair, fast, and equitable distribution of COVID-19 tests, treatments, and vaccines. President Biden immediately recommitted to the WHO and has pledged $4 billion to COVAX. These are a good start. but fall far short of what's needed. China and Russia have been engaging in vaccine diplomacy, delivering free or discounted vaccines to nations in need. The U.S. is far behind, donating several million doses of AstraZeneca that were in danger of expiring. A more important step for the Biden administration to take would be to drop objections to the temporary waiver of intellectual property rights on COVID-19 vaccines at the World Trade Organization. This would allow rapid scaling up of affordable vaccine production globally, akin to the Merck Johnson & Johnson deal, but on a grand scale that the severity of the pandemic demands. The initial appeal for the waiver from India and South Africa has been joined by over 60 other nations. But as the WTO process requires decisions to be unanimous, one dissenting nation, like the United States, can block progress, protecting the pandemic profiteers. While the United States may be failing in deploying the soft power of vaccine diplomacy, it continues to excel in deploying hard power. SIPRI, the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, reported that global arms sales grew by 8.5% from 2018 to 2019. SIPRI reports, in 2019, the top five arms companies were all based in the United States: Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and General Dynamics. It adds, these five together registered $166 billion in annual arms sales. In total, 12 U.S. companies appear in the top 25 for 2019, accounting for 61% of the combined arms sales of the top 25, unquote. Inexplicably, the Pentagon announced this week, just days after the world marked International Mine Awareness Day, that the United States would continue Trump's policy of expanding the use of landmines around the world. Public notices from the Pentagon's Defense Security Cooperation Agency confirm that U.S. weapon sales continue apace. Brazil has just bought $70 million worth of torpedoes from Raytheon, for example. This as Brazil faces a devastating surge in COVID-19 deaths, with hospitals running out of basic supplies and gravediggers working into the night to make room for the mounting corpses. Imagine if that $70 million were invested in battling the pandemic instead of other countries. Instead of selling weapons of war, the United States should make global public health our number one priority. It is by far the most effective way to enhance our national security. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. There will be a chance of showers after 5 a.m. Saturday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And on Sunday, showers are likely mainly after 9 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 62 degrees. And a chance of showers on Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 46 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.